chapter 21 and chapter 22. Now, I'm just going to jump right in this morning. I'm not going to, do what I normally do, but I'm going to jump right in this morning because we've got a church dinner today. But we are studying Revelation chapter 21 and 22, and we are going to wrap this series up today. This will be the last sermon in the Revelation series on end times. So Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. This is John speaking. Remember, this is John speaking that he's been caught up into heaven, and Jesus is revealing to him what's going to happen in the end times. What is it going to be like? So God shows John a vision of the end times, and now John says this. He says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. Also, there was no more sea." Let us pray. Father God, Father, once again we come before you, Father, and we ask, Father, that you unleash your Holy Spirit, Father, that your Spirit will come and fall upon this place, Father, fall upon your word, Father, and that when it is preached, Father, they will remember what you have said, what you have spoken, and Father, that will penetrate into our hearts, and Father, we will grow spiritually from it. Father, you have great promises and great hope for us. So, Father, let us know those things that we can, Father, share those things with others. And as always, Father, I stand before you as a man who needs forgiveness of his sin. And Father, that you would find it in your will to forgive me, Father, to allow me to preach, to be your servant today. And as always, if I'm going to say something incorrect or preach something that is not right, that you would silence my lips, not permit me to speak, but that you would rise up the servant that you have for you today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Point number one from last week was the exclusivity of heaven. The exclusivity of heaven. Last week, we learned that heaven, for sure, is an exclusive place. First of all, when you get to heaven, not everyone gets in. He says, many will come unto me that day and say, "Lord, Lord, have I not profited?" He said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." I can just keep reciting verses after verse. Many are called, few are chosen. I can just keep going on and after. It's an exclusive place. Also in heaven, not everybody's going to be there, but also there is no form of sin or there's no practicing sinner that will get into heaven. But not only that, we must remember Revelation 21, verse 4. Remember last week God said, "I will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Remember, I kind of explained that this is the time of no mores. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears. If you missed that last week, then I encourage you to either go online or go to the back of the sound room and see Chris and get that message. But that is the exclusivity of heaven. And this morning now we come to, there's a second thing, and the second thing is this, is the exceptionality of heaven. It is the exceptionality of heaven. Pick up in verse 10 right there. And it says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God." Now let me tell you something, folks. That is what is exceptional about heaven. You're reading that and you're thinking, "Pastor, what in the world is so exceptional about that verse? What makes heaven so exceptional out of that verse?" Well, that verse is what makes heaven heaven. It really is. It's not the city. It's not even us. It's not all the other stuff that we've read about. What makes heaven heaven is that God is in his glory there eternally. His presence, God's eternal glory, is there forever and ever. His glory will reign there. It is exceptional, and it's beyond description, congregation. We will be there, and I want to show you what that means. In verse 14, we read this. "Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations." That means this. That means that there's a great stability in heaven. Nothing is going to come along that is going to rock your world. There's nothing that's going to throw you off. There's nothing that's going to get you all caught up and bent out of shape. He says there's going to be a great stability there. Verse 12 says it has a great high wall. You know what that represents? That represents security. You know, Satan is in here today. He is in this building today. He is present among us today. But let me tell you, in heaven, that will never, ever, ever be so. You've got stability in heaven. That's what those high walls represent. You've got security. You never need to fear anything again. You don't need to fear no person, no thing, no disease, not anything. It's secure and it is stable. Amen? Look at verse 16. It says this. It says, the city is laid out as a square. That means this. It means it has symmetry. It has design. Its purpose is for, it is that way for a reason. That is, it has balance. So it's going to be stable, it's going to be secure, and it's going to have balance. Let me ask you this. Life gets so out of balance sometimes, doesn't it? Your system can get out of balance. Your thinking can get out of balance. Church can get out of balance. But let me tell you something, folks. Heaven will never be out of balance. It is secure. It is stable. There is symmetry there. Now, let me show you two other things, because I think in this apocalyptic language, that's what this is, an apocalyptic language, John is painting us a picture here, and it's all to do with the glory of God. That's what everything about heaven has to do with. Everything in heaven has to do with the glory of God. Now listen to what he says there in verse 19. It says, the foundation, you need to read that, but there's 12 precious stones. They are translucent. That's just, they're indescribable as they give off all this light. Every time I read over those verses, I tell you what comes in my mind. Yeah, but light will pass through it, and it will just do all kinds of wonderful things as it passes through that light. You understand, in heaven, the glory of God will pass through everything that's in it. That is so cool. But look at this. It gives off light. But the 12 stones, it specifically lists the 12 stones. Does that remind you of anything in the Old Testament? Well, maybe something like when the high priest would go in before the presence of God on the Day of Atonement, he wore what they call an ephod, and then it had 12 stones on it. It has four rows of three stones each. He would have that on there. Each one of those stones represented a tribe of Israel. And how many tribes of Israel were? 12. These are the stones mentioned here in Revelation 21. And what it was doing is this. It was essentially bringing the people of God before the presence of God. That was a representation. It was bringing the people of God before the presence of God for just a few moments, just for a very few moments, one day out of the year. Now, just keep that in mind, because you go back and you look at the city. The city is square. It's just really, I don't have time to unpack all of it, but I'm going to give you just the highlights of it because it's really cool. But the city is square that we're talking about in our scripture today. It is really more than a square. It's a cube. Verse 16 says this. It says, the city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. That's about 1,500 miles. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Now let me ask you this. Is there anything else in the Old Testament that you know of that is a cube? It's called the Holy of Holies. It was where the presence of God resided in that day. It represented where the presence of God resided. God said this. He said, I will cause my presence to dwell there over the mercy seat in this cube that is here called the Holy of Holies. The whole of this thing is telling us this. What does all this mean? It tells us this, that we're going to be in the presence of God. Now listen, if you don't want to hallelujah that and amen that, listen, I'll go down to the Pentecostal church and they'll fall out on that. I'm being serious. I'm not making fun of them. They got it right. Do you understand that? We sit there, oh, that's good. Wake up. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Listen, do you understand? In heaven, you will be in the literal presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. Therefore, listen. I'm telling you, he says, look, you come and you read those words of verse 20. He says, look, I saw no temple in it. I saw no church in it. I saw no holy of holies in it. I saw no temple in it. Why was there no need for a temple? Why was there a need for the temple in the Old Testament? Why was there a need for a temple? And some people even think it today. Why do we have to have church today? Let me tell you why. Because sinful man could not come into the presence of God. Therefore, a man had to bring a sacrifice. We're talking in the Old Testament. A man had to bring a sacrifice. What was the sacrifice in the New Testament? All right. And then they would bring a sacrifice, and they give that sacrifice over to a Levite. They were the keepers there. And then the Levite would offer that up, on the altar there in the front of the Holy of Holies, in front of the holy place. And then only the priest could go into the holy place. And then only one priest, the high priest, could ever enter to the Holy of Holies. No man could ever just walk up and walk in. It wouldn't happen. You see, there was all this separation that said you've got to go through all of these things. Oh, there's people in Christianity today, they're still right here. They think they're going to work it all out. They're going to be good enough. They're going to do the right things. They're going to give money to Lottie Moon. I'm going to give socks on the tree. I'm going to put a toy in the box. And God's going to look at me and say, look how great I am. No. There was all this separation then, and you got to go through all these things in order to get the representation before God, but not in heaven. Listen, this is going to get so sweet, people. This is going to be so sweet. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be representation before Him. When we get to heaven, there's going to be no representation before Him. We're going to live in His presence. We are going to be in the midst of His glory. And listen to what it says in verse 23. This is so great, Christian. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Who is the Lamb? Jesus is its light. So you realize something in here. This is artificial light. All of this, or the majority of it, I should say, is all of this is artificial light. It's around us right now. It illuminates. It's in here so that we can see. It's bright. But let me tell you something. This light is artificial. Do you know when you walk out of this place and you step into the sunshine outside, understand it, it is then that you are stepping into created light. That's created light. This is artificial light. Also, all of the stars at night are created light. What are we getting at here? Come on, hang on. All the stars at night are created light. The moon is illuminated by the sun, which it shines on it, which is created light. Do you realize that when you step into the new Jerusalem, when you step out into the new heaven, when you step out onto that new earth, there in that new Jerusalem, we will be stepping out into an eternal light. Do you see that? Jesus Himself is a light. But for the very first time, we will be stepping into the actual, uncreated brightness of Almighty God. AKA, also known as, the glory of God. And into a city made of all of those jewels, of so many various shades, of so many various colors. Can you just get a picture? What a light. A lot of people travel to Alaska to watch all the, I forget what those lights are called. What are they called? Yeah, I mean, the people just travel from all over the world to see. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a light show that's going to come out from an eternal light that's going to shine through everything that heaven is made of. And still to believe, to think that some people have actually come to me and said, you know, I think that's going to be boring. And my thought is, you got to be kidding me. Because listen to me, it will not be a matter of, listen very closely, it will not be a matter of simply coming into the presence of God. We actually can do that now. right now, every day. We can come into the presence of God. That's not what the matter is. It is but that we will dwell in the presence of God eternally. Oh, what a day that will be. Listen, you won't be able to get out of the glory of God. Is that good? Seriously, brother, is that good? I can get out of the glory of God right now. I mean, I'm not going to ever get out of his security, but I can get out of his glory. I can go do something stupid and I'll be out of this God's glory. But listen, in heaven, I ain't going to be able to get out of it. I can't hide from it. I can't run from it. I can't try to escape it. There's no moving away from it. He will never go anywhere where we will be immediately right then in his presence eternally, never a millisecond away from us. With his presence. Now, do you know what that refers to? That refers to this. It refers to a constant fellowship with him. It's a constant association and a fellowship. It's an engagement with him. But you know what else it means? It means that we are there together. Have you ever, Bergen, it was late and I texted a friend of mine. Some of you know him. His name's Greg. He lives in Charleston. I texted him, and I said, "Brother, are you still up?" And he responded, he says, "No, getting ready to go to bed." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "Well, what's up?" I said, "I'm just driving. I was wanting to talk." He said, "Listen," he said, "I'll call you in the morning." He said, "I need the fellowship." Isn't it cool how God works? He says this, he says, we will have, and it will mean that we will have an unimpeded and uninterrupted fellowship with one another. Oh, what a day that will be. Listen, no more selfishness. there will be no more selfishness, but there will be oneness among all who will be there. All the walls will come down. Listen, you're a little odd with this brother over here, sister. You're at odd with this sister over here. Listen, we know that it will all come down. All the upset will be gone. Zeke can whistle in service all day long. I really won't care. Won't bother me one iota. You see that? All of the jealousy, all of the snide remarks, all of the unkindness, all of the things, the competitiveness. Christianity, let me tell you, there's a big competitiveness in Christianity. There'll be no competitiveness that separate us. The selfishness and the self-centeredness that we will experience in a relationship will be gone. Let me tell you, it will all be gone. And we will not only have a perfect relationship, but there will be perfect community and fellowship among the people of God. That will be a change. Just wonder why we couldn't try it just a little bit right here among ourselves. Amen. Besides, it is what the world is really truly hungry for. You understand that? The world really longs for it, and it's starved for this kind of a fellowship. Oh, to be in a fellowship of God's people, where people are not competitive, and where people are not self-centered, and people are not giving and where people are giving and loving and expressing their love to one another. You understand something? Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? There will be an exceptionality to the new heaven. Let me tell you something, church. That is what people long for even right now. They really do. There's people who struggle with not being accepted in the church. But let me tell you something. If they see that among us, they'll want that too. They really will. They'll want it to. In fact, they'll begin to question, well, why are you people like this? Why are you people like this? It's a perfect way. Listen to me. What I'm talking to you about is an absolute perfect way to share the gospel. That's what we're to be about. Now, let me give you this last thing, and it's this. It is the eternality of God's love. the eternality of God's love. Not just the exclusivity, not just the exceptionality of heaven, but the eternality of God's love. Look at chapter 22. Now, normally when you come to chapter 22, this is basically all everyone ever quotes out of this is verse 18. Everybody will know this. It says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book." Remember, who is speaking? Whose revelation is this? It's a revelation to John, but who is doing the talking here? Christ Jesus, right. He says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Oh boy, that's a pretty stiff penalty, isn't there? And a lot of people think that this is where God's word ends. A lot of people do that. They think that this is where God's word ends, but that's not the way that God's word ends. The amazing thing to me in all of this, folks, I'm getting ready to wrap this series up, but I'm telling you something. Let me tell you what the amazing thing to me is in studying this week, is that all of this and I'll pick it up in verse 10, but all of this is an expression of God's love. Even those verses, it's an expression of God's love. Look what he said. "And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." What is he saying? He says, "I want people to hear this just as it is. I want people to know this. I want people to understand this. I want people," the end of the book of Revelation, the last book in our Bible, God is saying, "I want people to hear these words." What the Lord was saying to John is saying, "Listen, I want this to be preached. I want you to talk about this. I want you to share this. So don't seal it up. Don't just hide it. Don't just say that this is just for you, John. It's not just for you. You're getting to exclusively to see it. But listen, don't seal it up. Don't hold this just for you. Don't hold this just for you and your buddy. Don't hold it for this little special group over here, those three over there, those four over there, those seven over there. Don't just get exclusive with it and hold it to your own." He says, don't do that. He says, but share this with all. Why? Why would he say that? He gives you the answer. He gives it right to you there in Scripture. He says, because the time is near. Look at verse 12. Look what he says. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Does this say to everyone according to their faith? Is that what it says? Does this say for everyone who lives a good life, a good moral life? Is that what it says? He says to give to everyone according to his work. What is the work? Anything that I do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the preservation of the word and for the sharing of the word. For the work. Look at what he says, 13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." I'm going to tie this in. You're going to say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know." But let me tell you, just hang in there. Hang with me. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am, I was, and I always will be." There's that song. He is, and he was, and he is to come. He has always been. 14, "Blessed are those who do his commandments." Who do his commandments. Some other translations say this: "Blessed are those who are washed, who wash their robes." Look, finish it out. "That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." We talked about those gates last week. He's saying, don't hide this, don't seal it up, but share this. He's saying, come and have your sins washed away. That's what the end of the book of Revelation is saying. Come, he's saying, have your sins washed away. Put on these white garments that speak of righteousness. Come and eat of the tree of life. Come into the city of God. Does anybody understand what's happening here yet? This is an evangelistic appeal. The very last chapter, the last words of God in his book is an appeal. Anybody got it yet? All of it's a whole word of God is summed up right here. Do you understand what he's saying right here? Listen, this is so profound. It is so prophetic. I'm not sure that everybody can get this. So I want you to pay really close attention. Do you really understand what he's saying here? Come to me. It's what he's been saying all the way through the book. All the way through every book. All 66 books. It's the same message. And he closes with the same message. He's saying, look, come to me. In fact, listen to verse 17. Look what it says in verse 17. You got to get this. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Okay, that's cool, right? Now we know who the Spirit is. Who's the bride? So read that verse again carefully. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Some people want to do away with invitation. But that's what this is. This is at the very last of the book in the Holy Word of God is an invitation. He's saying, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. We the bride, we know that the Holy Spirit, it does the drawing to us. But then it says, to the bride, says come. We, the bride, the church, are to be calling people to come. And let him who hears, what are y'all doing right now? You're hearing, right? Let them who hear say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. He says, come. It won't cost you anything. Just come. He's pleading, come. Come to me. Come so you don't have to suffer all of these things of this book. Come. And the last words of Scripture, God the evangelist is giving the invitation. And look at the last verse spoken by our Lord. His grace is being unfolded. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, that's how it ends. That's what he's saying there. I'm offering you my grace. The word there is grace. He said, come. I have grace. Come, I have grace. It's free. Come to me. Come to me. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. It's free. I have grace. Come quickly. And he has all of this for you and for me. Come. Come to Jesus. Now, church, let me tell you something. That's the invitation. That's the invitation right there. So I want to close and explain to you why I have preached this for over 18 different Sundays. And I want you to listen to me, and I don't want you to have to worry because you're going to get dinner early today. So listen, it'll keep. But I want to tell you a story that is relevant to the closing of this series. Okay? I want you to pay attention, okay? On February 19th, 1942, the Japanese bombed Darwin Base in Darwin, Australia. And after that bombing, when the men came out of their tunnels and out from under their sandbags that they were hidden under, after the Japanese bombers were done doing what they were going to do and things calmed down, they heard all these soldiers that were beginning to file out and getting themselves under control, they begin to hear a whimpering. And so they went over and they began to search, and they found that a dog had been wounded and was under a bunch of some rubble there. Well, they dug the dog out and they gave him a name, and they nicknamed the dog Gunner. And they took him over to the medic. Well, the medic set his leg. He had a broken hind leg. And so the medic set his leg, and the dog just followed after that. He followed after all the soldiers after that, all of the ones who had gone and cared for him. He was just doing what a dog does, just being faithful to his master. And a few days after, he had his leg set, the dog began to go nuts. He just became erratic. He was barking uncontrollably. He was running in circles, and he took off, and he ran up under something that could give him some shelter. And listen to me, within 20 minutes, the Japanese was bombing Darwin Base in Darwin, Australia once again. A few days later, the same thing happened. The dog started out again, started barking, and he went nuts, and he was running around in circles and was squealing and carrying on and scratching, and then he took off, and he went under something that would shelter him. Within 20 minutes, the Japanese bombed Darwin Base yet again. Now, those soldiers, they did what you've already done. You've put two and two together. That dog could hear Japanese bombers before they ever even showed up, before they could anybody could ever see them. In fact, it could hear Japanese bombers 20 minutes before they showed up. Now, I want you to remember, radar was new in that day and time. It's not like it is today. It was fairly new in that day and time. But that dog, he could hear bombers before they ever showed up on the radar. So those soldiers there at the base in Darwin, Australia, began to plan everything they did, everything they watched that dog. They began to plan everything around what that dog was doing. Because what was the dog doing? He was saying, warning. Warning. They're coming. It's coming. Warning. You better get cover quick. You may not realize it. You may not be able to hear it. You may not be able to see it. But I'm telling you, it's coming. Now, here's the interesting thing in all of this. It's very interesting. Interesting thing in all of this, the dog didn't do that when he heard American planes come. He didn't even do it when he heard the British planes coming. Only the Japanese bombers would he ever respond that way to. If you got your eyes closed, open them up, because you're going to want to hear this. Put your listening ears on. You hold in your hands the Word of God. It's not just a book. It's not an ornament on your end table. It's not something that gives you safe passage because you ride around in the back window or the back seat of your car. It is the Word of God. And I've given you 18 messages of what is to come. 18 messages, what is to come from God's Word. The best that I could. Other people can do it better, I'm sure. But I did it the best I could. And you can hear, you understand what I'm about to tell you. You can hear what the world cannot hear. You know what the world has no clue about. We talked about in the beginning of the sensing of things. Remember? Started out this way. So you know what the world has no clue about. So in faithfulness to your master, you need to be telling people around you about Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're to be evangelists for one. But why? What was the dog doing? He was what? That what was coming? Danger. You know the danger. You hear it coming. You just don't sense it. Listen, when you know this word of revelation like you should know it now, at least to some degree, you cannot turn on the news and not hear it coming. You just don't sense it because you've got the reliability of the Word of God. Question, are you talking to anybody just asking, are you talking to anybody? 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 You're talking to your family. You're talking to your co-workers. Are you talking to your neighbors? Oh, and praise God, are you talking to your enemies, the one that despises you and can't stand to look at you? Are you talking to them? Anybody about their relationship to Jesus Christ? Are you warning anybody? Get shelter. Get shelter. It's coming. Get shelter. They're coming. And you know where the shelter is. You got to go through the cross, the doorway of the cross, to get the shelter of the protection of a holy God. You know the danger. Are you telling anybody? Anybody? I hope so. Because it can be a life-saving, or better said, it could be a soul-saving warning. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm just going to ask you to pray, bow your heads. I ask you to stand, bow your heads. Ask every eye closed. Listen, if you are here this morning, then listen to me. If you're here this morning and you're hearing the word of God, the invitation is for you. Then I want you to heed what Jesus is asking you to do. His word is being spoken to you, and he's saying to you, come to me. Come to Jesus. Because he is the only shelter that will protect you from the destruction that is coming. If you have never trusted him, listen to me, you come to him. Don't come to me, but you come to him. You respond to his calling upon your soul. He will bring upon your soul an eternal security and an eternal shelter. So if you can hear God speaking to your heart this morning, then I am inviting you to come as the church. I'm inviting you to come to Jesus because he's inviting you to come. That's why I'm inviting you to come, because he's inviting you to come under his shelter of salvation. I'm saying what the Spirit and the bride say. They're saying, come. I'm saying to the one who hears. I'm saying to the one who hears. Jesus says, come. Come to me. Come to me. Why? He loves you. He loves you with a love that can't begin to describe. That I can't even begin to describe for you. It's his love for me. I don't understand. But it's great and it's glorious. It's magnificent and it's wonderful. Do you understand? He has a new life for you. He has a new life for you. Listen. A do-over. I've messed it up. I've just messed it up, and I've messed it up, and I've dug myself so deep that man will never ever look at me the way again. Let me tell you something. Jesus says, you come to me, and I'll make you into a new creation, and I don't care what man looks at you as, but I'll look at you as new, as being born again all over. Yeah, I messed it up. I messed it up. I messed it up. I'm not talking about you. I have already done it. And I can tell you that the promise that he's telling you that he will give you is true. It's a new life for you. Listen, how does he have a new life for you? Because he has forgiveness for you. He's willing to forgive all of your sins if you will receive it, if you will come to him and surrender your life to him. You will live for him, and he has a heaven for you, a place that is waiting just for you, where he will be eternally present with all the stability and the security. I'm inviting you to come to Jesus this morning. So right where you're standing, right where you're at right now, you could come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to ask you for the forgiveness of my sins. Why do I have to have that? Because that's what separates me from a holy God. That's why I can't be in the presence of God because of my sin. And who has sin? Every single person standing in this room. But some of us are forgiven of it and some of us aren't, because some of us have not approached him according to his word and belief and say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me for my sins. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I believe that you were raised from the dead to give me eternal life. You didn't stay dead, but you raised from the dead. And listen, because you can overcome sin and you overcame my sin, I'm going to put my faith and my trust and my hope and my security and my life and my soul in your hands. And I'm going to put my trust in you. And I'm going to turn my life over to you, because I really haven't done all that great of a job. So I'm going to try your way. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to learn of you. I'm going to try to walk by you. God. So by faith, by God's word, by hearing his word, in his word, you will surrender your life to him, and you will live for him and follow him as the best you can as you learn of him. Lord Jesus, I come with all the mess that I am, and that's how he wants you. All the mess that I am, I'm coming, and I'm going to put my faith and my trust in, surrender my life to you. Listen, every eye closed, every head bowed. You prayed that. You prayed that in your heart right now. You prayed that. Just slip your hand up and right back down. I see it. I see it. I see it. Praise God, glory. I see it. Anybody else? I see it. I see it. All over this place, hands are going up. Now listen, you don't have to do what I'm about to ask you to do. You do not have to do this to be saved. You have to believe. But let me tell you something. There's something special about making a profession of faith. The thing about making a profession of faith is making it public. You don't hide it under a bushel. Listen, I'm just asking you, this is what I'm asking you to do. The band's going to play here in just a couple seconds. They're going to play. Listen, and what I want you to do, this is simply what I want you to do. I'm not going to hold you or do anything. As the music begins, I want every one of you at the same time step out of that aisle, and I want you to walk down front and just look at me and say, I believe, and just go right on through. I believe. I want you to make that public profession. I believe. Now maybe you need some more information and you want somebody to pray with you, then listen, you come and tell me and I'll make that arrangement for somebody to talk to you either now or later. Listen, the world's not going to keep on going the way it's going. It's not going to keep on going the way it's going. We can sense it. 19 messages now that this is completed, 19 messages now. On the end time events, that through the Revelation Bible story, we know that there is coming a day when God will say, enough. And he will call his bride. Listen, I don't want you to be left behind to suffer God's wrath. But I want you to eternally experience his love. But you have to respond to the call. You need to respond to his eternal love now. The chance to respond is now. What does Jesus' word say? He says, now, come quickly, come now. So if you've answered God's call to come to Jesus, you come. Come and be filled with the awestruck wonder. Is there any Christians that will give me an amen of the awestruck wonder of God? Amen. Come and experience his power. He will be a breath of living water to your life. Would you come? Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit move in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.